It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is deer season, actually the second weekend, and there's always a lot of hunting talk. Larry and I have been shooting the breeze about everything from catching catfish and taking them to the deer lease to rattling up bucks, but it's time to talk some fishing. Now, a good friend of mine, Mr. Bradley Doyle, makes the catfish bubble gum you hear about. Bradley was at a tournament here, oh gosh, it's last month, the Possum Kingdom Cat Masters tournament down there. It was a big tournament, I think about 130 teams, if I'm not mistaken. Let's visit with Bradley and talk some catfishing. Brad, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Just recovering and you know, from a great time out there at that Possum Kingdoms tournament.
Yeah, you know, Possum Kingdom, I've reported fishing and written about and fished. I fished Possum Kingdom many, many times. Beautiful, beautiful lake. But I've never fished it for catfish. Honestly, never have. There were some good cats caught, some heavy ones, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I think our big fish this during this tournament was 46 pounds, and there were several 30-pounders brought in. And then there were some that didn't catch any fish. I mean, it's a very unique lake, and with just a little bit of studying, I mean, it pretty much levels the field.
Yeah.
You don't have to have all this special equipment and all that stuff to catch them. And then local knowledge may or may not help when you get there.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I know. Folks, Brad guides down at Lake Conroe, which is an awesome, I know for a fact, channel catfish lake. But that was a little bit out of your territory getting up to Possum Kingdom. I know it was way different scenery and all that. But what you said, the size of those catfish, I mean, they're there. But I can imagine how challenging, especially the first time up there at Possum Kingdom, how challenging it would be to locate them, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, the first day of pre-fishing, I was second-guessing my reason for living. I had no clue how to attack that lake. I didn't know how to get a pole in the water without being hung up. And
yeah.
It was just a challenge. I mean, I didn't even know where to start looking.
Well, I can only imagine. You know, something, too, that to think about is the Yandish Catfish Classic. It's going to be next spring, and we've talked about that a little bit. My friend Jerry Miller is Ramrod's that operation, and I worked with him last year and actually fished in it. That's a lake that I want you to up at Lake Fork there. Make plans to try to be there next year, Brad. I think you'll enjoy fishing. Lots of what we consider big channel cats there, 2.5, 3.5 pounds, bigger than average, let's say, for fishing over baited holes. You'll enjoy that, and I'll keep you posted next spring there at that Yannis.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to be a part of it.
Yeah, you need to be there, buddy. Well, something else. The Texas Trophy Catfish Association, folks. Brad is the vice president of that. And, Brad, that's all about tagging big fish, right, and then studying them as the years go on.
Right. Well, we say big fish or rare fish or any of that. I mean, we've started to tag some of the smaller channels as well.
Yep.
If it's a fish we don't catch a whole lot of, like flatheads, we want to tag those and get some information. What we basically look for is fish 10 pounds or better, because that's basically once the fish gets out of the real danger zone of its life cycle and is most likely to keep surviving. I mean, they're sexually mature. That's really the ones we want to keep up with. That's the ones that aren't protected too much from just regular regulations.
Yeah,
so
right.
We really want to study and see actual real-time, real-world growth rates, catch rates, and stuff like that in natural body of water, not just in a controlled environment. And maybe even find a solution to the conservation of these trophies so that we can preserve our sport and keep our trophies out there and keep a healthier fish population with the better genetics.
You bet. It's well, I know it's catching on, and more people are learning about it. Now, is there a website, Brad, for the Texas Trophy Catfish Association?
There is, txtca.org. You can become a member. Once you're a member, you can buy tagging kits and things of that nature, submit your tags. If you catch a fish, that happens to be tagged, you can it's on the tag, txtca.org. You can go in there and pretty easily look up that tag, and you know, if you measure and all that stuff, you can put that information in there for us. At some point, we're looking to do rewards. Not nothing major. We're a startup and we're nonprofit, so we don't have any major money backing. So, doing some kind of rewards or recognition for people that release these fish so that they can continue to be studied are in the works.
That's awesome. Let's talk about catching catfish in the winter. And I know that, you know, you fished Lake Conroe so much, and many of the folks listening maybe haven't fished Conroe. Many have. Right off of I-45 heading down to Houston, you know, you can take a right and you're there in no time. But as we're going into, well, we're almost, say, mid-November, the channel catfish bite, does it change much as the water begins to cool down there? I know it's farther enough south that a lot of people might want to travel down to Conroe to get in on some. The water stays warmer, I think, a bit longer, you know, down there.
Yeah, most of the time it does. We did get quite a bit of temperature drop in this past cold front. But, yeah, it usually it stays quite a bit warmer than other places. And to be honest, my favorite time to fish, whether it's the lack of ski boats and wakeboard boats or what, but I tend to catch a whole lot of fish in the wintertime. And I usually get the lake to myself, so.
That's the fun. Yeah, honestly, I don't care if it's fishing for stripers or whatever, white bass when you can catch them in the winter. I like to fish in the wintertime, and common sense will tell you, you know, Brad, don't get out there when it's blowing a gale and, you know, 25 degrees. But there's a lot of good days, especially that far. It's not that far south, actually, Conroe, but it is a different – there's a climate change that I've got buddies that's got hunting ranches and farms and everything else. But right around, say, Huntsville, Trinity County, from there south, there is a definite the winters are a bit warmer right down in there, you know? I mean, people that
absolutely
know, you know,
I mean,
that.
If you're driving, 45 north out of Houston at night and you got your windows down, you can feel it. When you hit a certain line, uh-huh, all of a sudden it may drop 5 or 6 degrees.
Yep, and it does seem that line is somewhere around Trinity and, you know, Walker County down through there. But Conroe is a destination. It's a good time to go down there and fish, too, is in the fall and winter when you, when things might be chilling down a little bit. It makes a good little old road trip. You can be there in, well, from the Metroplex, you'd be down there in 3 hours, Brad, you know.
And right.
I haven't fished there. We keep talking about me getting down there and getting with you, and I'm going to do it. we get so many irons in the fire. It sometimes it's hard to make time to do that. But let's talk about catching them. Your bait, the bubble gum. You use that actually year round, don't you?
Yes, sir. I use the bubble gum primarily on baited holes, you know, or common areas for channel catfish. Of course, I got my Bradley's Bite Enhancer that I soak my cut baits in for the trophy catfish, which I also do in the wintertime. It just seems like the easier time to catch them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think anybody that's ever fished for catfish, for blue catfish, know there is nothing better than a big chunk of, in this, well, skipjack up in the rivers up a little bit farther north, but a good old juicy shad with your bloody, some oil, and that enhancer, you've told me about that too. It's just, it gives them more of the enzymes, I guess, right?
Amino acids, enzymes, mm-hmm. And just a stronger smell, you know.
Yeah, they smell it, yep.
And you know, wintertime it's hard to catch bait, so I like to use it to recharge my baits after they've soaked for a while and started to wash out. I take my old baits off instead of throwing them away. I throw them back in the bag and grab me some fresh ones.
Yep.
Just kind of roll it around. That way I ain't trying to throw a net in 40 foot of water all day.
I hear you. The fishing, say for the blues, I know you do a lot of channel cat fishing, and that's kind of what I think about when I think about Conroe as channel cat. But the blue catfish bite in the winter when you're spraying it with the enhancer there. Do you drift a lot, or are you under anchor a lot of times down there?
Well, down here, pretty much all the time, I'm going to be drifting. It just seems to work quite a bit better. We don't have a very strong concentration of trophy catfish. I mean, we've got some, but you kind of need to drift around and find them. Sometimes you'll be all in them, and other times you put in your time.
I hear you. Yep. Well, the way you rig up for drifting, that might help some folks. Brad, how do you rig the terminal end of your line up there when you're drifting? Hook size and all. How do you configure the weights and all that?
I usually run a combination. A lot of times I've really grown fond of this Santee Cooper rig, where I run an 8 to a 10-aught either circle or one of these hybrid hooks like a Reaper or a Triple Threat. 10-aught being because I'm using big baits because I want big fish, and I want enough hook exposed so that it can be hooked. And, you know, catfish ain't scared of the hook. So, and from there, I run a leader line up and tie me a peg float. And it runs up to a swivel where I have some sort of sliding weight, whether it's on a sinker slide or whether it's a no roll or egg sinker or something like that. The line can move through it. And my other rig primarily is going to be I guess you'd call it a Kentucky rig, where I have however much weight I need to get to the bottom. I don't want to drag a 4-pound weight trying to through all these sticks and stuff, but whatever it takes to get my bait to the bottom, whether it's 1, 2, 3 ounce at the bottom. And then I tie up probably 5 feet from that and put me a loop and a big old hook and, maybe a rattle or something on there, above the hook. Cat Tackle has some. I think Whisker Seeker has some line rattles. Just a little simple something to throw on there. I seem to catch more with them.
Your weight is on the bottom, and then when you factor in the angle of your line when you're trolling, that bait is going to be probably what, maybe 2 or 3 foot up from bottom as it drifts along, maybe?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that design, it's going to bounce a lot. So it's also, you may get a reaction bite on a fish that wasn't even hungry.
That's a good, I've never fished with that rig. So you got your weight, no roll sinkers or whatever on the bottom, and then about 5 feet up a loop with your hook. So, yeah, it is 5 feet in elevation from the hook to the weight, but when you factor in the angle of the line when you're trolling, it would
and
be.
And the size of the loop,
It's a drop loop then. It's from the main line. It drops down whatever, 6 inches or a foot, whatever you want. And, blues are notorious for suspending, aren't they? Now, I found that
to
be
a... Well, usually their strike zone is going to be a good 5 feet off of the bottom.
I know it, yeah.
Now, they will get down in the mud, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Usually they come up out of that to come hit something, so...
And they will they'll follow that that bait. No question about that, like a pack of wolves, won't they?
Oh, yeah. When you're in them, you may see a taste test here and there, and a lot of people mess up because they hurry up and grab that pole and try to set the hook old school style, but these bigger fish can be tricky.
You bet. You know? Man, I wish we had about another 15 minutes to visit, Brad, but we are almost out of time. Folks can tell folks how to connect with you. We've got time to do that. If you want to leave a phone number, that's okay too.
You can call me at 936-524-6768. Talk about guided trips or Texas Trophy Catfish Association, or you can go to bradleysguideservice.com to book trips, txtca.org to find out more about our tagging program, and we will be putting out information about that Possum Kingdom Catmasters tournament. They've already announced that next year they're guaranteeing $30,000 for first place.
We'll be talking about that a lot, Brad, and we'll put all this on the website too. Brad, we'll get you back soon. How about it?
Sounds like a plan.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.